So I guess I'll put in my other name for her. Well, you know, if she wants to have a history. There it is. Look, come here and look at this, Karen. How's this look? Is that right? Look. Look, on December 9th, 19th, what the heck is that?
You're answering an email from December 19th, 2012?
Yeah, that's weird.
Is there something below? No, that is very weird.
I'm in another world. We get direct proof.
Wow.
What happened on December 19th, 2012?
Well, I went, if I go like this, I reply to her.
Yeah. Now it's November today, but go back to that other email. Yeah, his hit reply thing on this person.
Went into the future.
Get a,
no, it went back to December 19th, 2012.
What happened on that day?
Oh, that's my, no, I don't have that. Doesn't make any sense.
Nope.
Did I start over again?
Go back to the
my email
one.
Went into a parallel world by itself.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, I hit reply. What is it? Use the other one, Carol?
Correct.
Yeah. It won't do it.
Yes, it will.
I think I somehow... Well, let's not worry about it.
Mm-hmm. So, what are you going to play?
See, there's December 19th. I have my papers are strewn all over my desk. Look at that, messy papers.
Not really. No, they're good.
Them, look. Yeah, they're in good order.
Yeah.
Look at this. This must have somehow come
Bob's up. Bob's just trying to create contrast.
I can't figure out anything.
It's
benefiting. I think I have a brain. Yeah. Like my fucking
you're
brain broke.
You're an amazing genius. You are an amazing genius.
That's right. And why am I that? That's true, but I can't remember why.
You don't have to know why.
All right. The no, I need to because there's different levels happening here.
Stop reading your emails and get your...
No, look, see, look at this. So,
just get rid of the, yeah, date.
Please go to... Is that good enough?
Yeah.
Yeah, so please go to then add... or do you know, I think I had... Sorry, it's taking so long, guys.
Well, you have it there. Then add dash. Then add...
Where'd it go?
Just below.
Okay, so there it is. There's her email. Right.
Yeah, Bob edits every email he sends about three times, Kylie.
Yep, I'm not going to have a misspelled email going out in my life.
Yeah.
I kind of have the same tendency.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Me too.
Okay, so where were we? What did we last hear? Well, oh, I've got to go to September 13th. 1988. I got to play you guys the original Ion or Evergreen's telling me how AIDS was made. That's the big thing, right?
That's the next one?
Yeah. I did September 12th, 1989, where we're planning our strategy to release it to the news, but that's a year after I was given the information. Now I must play you the information. And here it is. You must hear how AIDS was explained.
Don't forget to mute us, but hey, do you guys know anything about Lyme's disease?
Lyme's disease?
The tick?
No, we don't know anything about it.
Okay.
Why are you bringing it up? You trying to bring me down?
No, I'm... No, it's because it was... I wonder if it was also man-made, that there was experimentation with ticks.
Well, what do you think, Carol? Is it man-made?
Yeah, apparently, you know, it started on Long Island around that
Animal Research Center?
Government facility.
Yeah.
Yeah, that island.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
And it attacks neurological. It's neurological.
But RNA drops can take care of it, so we don't worry.
So I have to find my
inventory.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to find my inventory. Where was it? Just a second, guys. I'm trying to get my inventory here. Excerpts for 11 toys. We did that.
There's a big debate. I just looked at my email, Weston A. Price Society. There, it looks like in New York, December 4th, so that would be Eastern, live streaming, 6:45 p.m., a debate between the meat eaters and the vegetarians. Chris Masterjohn, nutritional scientist researcher and author of The Daily Lipid, and Joel Salutin, guru of the pasteurized farming movement, versus Neil Barnard. He's a vegetarian. You'd think he'd be an animal eater because his name is Barnyard or Bernard. And Gene Bauer, B-A-U-R, president and founder of Farm Sanctuary. I guess they save people from being eaten, animals. The topic, don't eat anything with a face. And I'm on the animal-eating side of things. Only 4% of the American population is vegetarian, yet they would have us all think we're less than because we eat things that have a face. Right, Bob?
Yes.
Did I give you enough seconds?
I think so. I think I found my inventory.
And what's next?
Ready to go.
Yay!
Ready to hear.
No, maybe not.
What?
I've got to find the 1988 thing. That must be right here.
Okay.
Number one.
Yeah, they don't recognize that plants are alive, too, and flowers have faces.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I think we're okay. Going all the way up to 11 minutes. So Carolyn did 11 minutes before I came in. And this is 2 days after we did Mysteries of History Part 2 in 1988, which I organized. And so now it's September 13th.
I'm answering the email from the person who says, I wish to end your e-post messages to my email. I have a high regard for Dr. Helen Caldicott in regard to the dangers of nuclear radiation. Your assertion that the dangers of nuclear radiation are exaggerated shows your incompetence. I also recommend that you study the findings of biologist Professor Chris Brisby about the dangers of internal radiation. So I'm saying, very good, Gene. You can sign off at any time. I don't expect you to understand my decades of research and coming to conclusions that are against the fear-based, and that's where I will end until Bob gets his recording. I'm coming over now to support Bob.
Right. Now this, it'll come through my phone here?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. This seems a little flimsy. All right.
You mean the headset you've been wearing for 4 years?
Yeah. For 5, 6 days?
Yeah.
Have I been on this for 6 days?
Yeah, since Friday.
Mm.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday,
yep.
Monday, Tuesday. 5 days.
I hope I don't sound too damaged. Here we go. This is me, September 13th, 1988, on the verge of discovering a whole new world and the causes of AIDS.
Mute.
So, what?
Mute, please.
Oh, yes, mute.
Thank you, Gene.
Yeah, mute.
Okay. Everybody's helping.
Yes, Bob.
Help Bob limp across the finish line.
Yeah, I'm a little damaged.
One big family.
Look at all these people. I haven't spoken to them. A lot of people here. Well, we'll talk later, guys, okay?
All participants are now muted.
All right, you've been muted.
All right, now we're going to go into another area. Thank you, Evergreens, for advice on that. On May, Sunday night, the Evergreens left the public reading and the audience there in a bit of an unresolved statement or understanding of what the Evergreens were going to say. What was the Evergreens saying about AIDS? I'll be blunt in my first question, which was not answered by the Evergreens on Sunday. Was AIDS manufactured in a laboratory?
The virus itself existed as a virus, recombinant was performed, recombinant DNA action, to produce a virus that would be trackable. It would cause certain debilitating illnesses, but it would mutate out to a benign form across a period of time, measurable period of time, as it progressed. It was originally proposed that this virus, by reducing the effect of the immune system, would then encourage local disease and would be hidden behind the disease. Treatable diseases, and would be able to be treated by physicians locally, such as pulmonaries, such as irritant diseases, such as predominantly skin diseases, African diseases. It was then formulated in certain amounts. Discussion was held as to its dispersal system. Since in a warfare situation, the idea is to incapacitate the enemy, not destroy him. As an incapacitant, how would it be dispersed? Aerosol is random in a testing situation. Contamination of water supply can be more localized, but still is not as accurate as would be through individual infection at a very primary level. The team that was involved with this was associated with, but not connected with, or of any knowledge of, those teams that were eliminating a certain other disease. Certain individuals were inoculated. The disease was to be essentially contained within that area. It was known that it would be passed through fluids and no other system. It would not be airborne. It would not be airborne infectious. It would not be iatropic. Therefore, it would be contained. However, its first mutation was into a virulent form and affected the immune system to eliminate its function. Went beyond the designer view. It is mutating, however, its spread was much faster and much more swift than anyone expected. You see?
Who were the first group inoculated?
Individuals in Chad, Nigeria.
And were there any groups inoculated in America?
No.
And it was spread from Chad then through the rest of the world?
Yes.
By army personnel?
It is, for some people it is very hard to realize how much travel is done, how much sexual contact there is.
When did this experiment start? The timing, the dates?
The timing of the dates, 1980. Initially 79, but put into effect in 80, 81.
Ms. Cameron, do you want to say something?
What does the word iatropic mean?
Spread within hospitals.
Oh, yes.
All right, now, was this a multinational group? Or what is this group that did this? You can identify.
I cannot give the identity of the group for many reasons.
Yeah.
However, has been associated with bacteriological warfare for a number of years.
But is it an international, not a group in one country, or is it a particular country?
It is a particular country. Now, why is realizing that most weapons in any arsenal, nuclear, are virtually impossible to use. Conventional would include bacterials. Most bacterials are killing bacterials. The research went into incapacitants. And that which would incapacitate long term, short term. What AIDS virus itself is basically an incapacitating disease, because its idea was to lower the effectiveness of the immune system so that local disease already existing would be then more easily accepted by a suppressed system. Now, whether that is influenza or whatever, it incapacitate. But being local disease is known to the physicians of that area and can be treated. It does immobilize. However, it was virulent in its first mutation. It mutated upwards, in effect, not downwards. But now you will see that, of course, it moved downwards in its virulency.
Would it be around the world, would it be noticed in people who contact AIDS?
Yes. HIV 3, 4, 5. Will be noticed.
But if a person has AIDS antibodies, they'll still be told for many years that, oh, you'll probably die, thinking of the past virulent form.
Mm.
You know, when will we...
True, but you'll be able to see from the antibody form that which has touched the body.
So the antibodies will change.
Yes.
Will they change their form or their amount?
Form.
The second strain, is it still long-term incapacitating to the point of death?
No.
Okay.
The idea was that it is slower than originally proposed, because its second mutation brought it into that which recognized as HV1.
Do they know that it's less virulent?
Well, certain researchers will prove that the secondaries are much less virulent, tertiaries less virulent than this.
Well, Well, that's good news.
So what about the people who have AIDS now with the older form? That doesn't change.
No.
All right, now the cure that you've talked about before will be helpful for those people.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, there must have been incredible embarrassment among this team to get this out of this happening. I mean, what? How are they handling this? These people, what they? This was an escaped virus, right?
It did not escape. It was deliberately placed that it mutated in its first situational, mutated very fast. But then that is the embarrassment, and that the designer of the virus is saying that the virus need to be modified, so it does not do this.
Saying that now?
Yes.
Now, is this part of... When did they start thinking along these lines? Because there's a book called Higher Form of Killing, which quotes this kind of thinking in a document about 1969 in the United States.
Yes.
When did they start planning this thing that came to fruition in 79, 80?
Well, they began planning in the early 70s because realizing that most of country's armaments, has been recognized by many, are becoming useless.
So this comes out of a military war-making consciousness, attitude.
Yes.
Now, Dr. Peter talked about the great war strains of the 70s and early 80s. This was one of the strategies of that ongoing superpower conflict?
Yes.
Let me ask a question on this. Is what has been the... Why the timing now of being able to talk about this? Because, in a sense, you could have given this information sooner, and yet it seemed that it didn't seem to be appropriate. Could you comment on that?
Because, several reasons. The first is that this will be old news in 2 months. Second, the opportunity was right.
You mean Sunday night?
Yes.
You're not concerned about the, you know, sensationalism as Michael was concerned about after the reading?
No.
Because there's going to be some amazing news coming out in 2 months?
Across the next several months, yes.
Which is going to get people hearing the truth, they're going to get pissed off. There's going to be a lot of anger, right?
Yes, there's going to be a lot of anger. But the anger is addressed at the whole concept of bacterials and virals.
So the INF treaty will be made obsolete, and we'll have to start looking at the treaties over bacteriological war.
Everything.
Everything.
Everything. You see, the concept, if you see the shift in concept, is not to kill thousands of the enemy. But that experience that has been found through war is that every damaged person is a liability to his country. He need to be cared for. He need to be looked after. He need to be rehabilitated. He need to be serviced. This take people that then come off the war effort. And if you can do something that incapacitates, then your structures within that country still exist. And if it is a virulent incapacitation that takes a great number to look after those ill, then war become even less profitable.
Now, the Emperor said the concept was to not expand so much in the population. When was this concept? This was a concept behind bacteriological warfare?
Yes, the change in bacteriological warfare itself. It is evident that the hardware wars are over. Predominantly. The hardware of atomic hydrogen, etc. Bombs that keep the building standing but the people dead. All of those groupings.
Yes.
Conventional warfare is good for skirmishes, good for small wars, but large wars, because of the efficiency of an army, is appallingly low. Conventional weapons begin to become less and less effective. We're quoting you the arguments that are used by the bacteriologists in this field.
Yes.
And that while certain gases, certain substances, conventional mustard, CXs, some of these groups would kill the... In many ways, they affirm an enemy's resolve. They kill. Peasants are dead. Office workers are dead. Managers are dead. And the internal structure of a country is very hard to replace. And while that is good short-term, long-term, it is disastrous for everyone. So therefore, the concept, if you look at the influenzas of 1917-1918, these killed more people than had been in the war itself, and the war was terrible. So therefore, anyone examining Hong Kong flus, etc., will see how rapidly a debilitating disease happens. If you can time a disease so that it's spread only within the area that you want, effective to debilitation of the that particular nation, then you have an incapacitant that would cause your enemy to not have enough strength to pick up his arms, let alone shoot them, or look after his own population in a war, a conventional war. So therefore, the experimentation with debilitating. Now this viral debilitant was to be a relatively mild situation that could be very easily tracked with the existing mechanism. But in its first shift, it became much stronger in its effect to closing down the immune system than anyone had expected.
Well, I would suggest there that people's immune systems are lowered these days anyway, and people haven't realized that.
In certain circumstances, yes, but still their immune systems are sufficient, mostly.
Well, think of the Epstein-Barr virus. I mean, one would say there's almost an epidemic of that. Why
yes.
would that be coming now?
Well, in actuality, Epstein-Barr...
It's been around.
Yes, but that itself is iatropic.
Mm-hmm. People are getting it because they're... I don't know, I just...
Exposure. But if you look at the spread of Epstein-Barr, it is very much hit and miss. There is a pattern to it, but it is a very hard pattern to find.
It's true, it's true. But why, 10 years ago, I wasn't seeing this in my practice, and now I'm seeing it.
And you'll find that, yes, it does cycle. Yes, it is an affecting of the immune system. But that is, some are lowered by pollution, lowered by a variety of circumstances, heat, etc. But this in itself was an active lowering of it.
Now think of the dolphins. They're talking about dolphins dying of the immune system deficiencies. Somebody injecting the dolphins?
No.
Why are they...
No, we don't see dolphins dying of immune deficiencies. What we see are dolphins dying of distemper.
Yeah.
We see seals dying of pneumonia.
From?
Well, that is, seals are dying of a canine.
Yeah,
yes, that is a canine pneumonia.
Yeah.
Well, the seals, dolphins, that is canine distemper.
Why would this be happening?
Well, certain bridges have been crossed. So, in any group of warm-blooded mammals, you would find there are cycles of diseases and cycles of immunity, islands of immunity, and etc.
All right. Does the Atlanta Disease Control Center know of this, the real cause of AIDS? People there?
Those disease centers working with AIDS would know that the virus will shift. Question is, where did they learn of this? It will be said that, of course, certain researchers down in Holland have shown that the disease is shifting. And that, we assure you, is the official view. That is the view that will be promulgated. That is the view that will stand.
So, there are people who are aware of what happened, and but they won't. Are they covering up with the Disease Control Center? Is that why there's been so much confusion of information coming out of there?
No.
And firings, quittings and things?
No, but certain individuals know. Certain individuals do not wish to be associated with. When there is a problem of this magnitude, certain individuals most assuredly become orphaned. And everyone will stand back with their hands raised in horror and saying, why would they do that? But they will be very much alone.
People are being
ignored.
We never
do anything. In other words, they're in there doing their research, they start to see what's really going on and run.
Somehow. But those who caused this, no one will even know anything. They will say they had nothing to do with it. And it will be done with several researchers, and they will be many, many years in the courts, we assure you.
Yeah. All right, now what do we do with this information you've just given us? Is this public?
No.
This is confidential?
This is confidential.
For how long? Since something's coming out in a couple of months.
Well, as soon as the information is released, you have full permission to do whatever you choose.
You're talking in 2 months?
Across the next while. When it breaks, you have full permission to do anything that would further your career or whatever you choose to do.
All right. Okay, now, did Dr. Beter know the real causes of AIDS?
No. Beter knew thinking. And his suspicions were triggered. And so his question was, why AIDS? Why not bubonic? Because there is greater opportunity of bubonic than AIDS. Then he realized bubonic is fleas, rats and fleas, a combination which has been decimated in the modern world itself. So we realized it wouldn't be flea as a carrier, or mosquito, but contact. Then he knew it was sexual contact.
I mean, he knew this before it was well known. It was well known.
He could see it was sexual contact.
He was thinking this out based on some information he was given.
Yes.
So we talk about his thinking while he's alive. Is there a message from Dr. Beter to me and Carolyn? We're going to be seeing his wife probably on this trip. Is there anything he would like us to advise his wife or their kids, or any direction he'd like to give us? If you can access him.
Oh, yes, we have this one. For his family. Enjoy yourselves. He enjoys seeing you enjoy yourself.
That's to his family.
That is to his family. And yes, they are beginning to enjoy themselves. And he does share in that enjoyment. Well, that is on a personal level.
Yes.
And he is not far away. For them to remember that. He is not far away because he is often there with them. And what we add to that is, they know this. We have oft times felt him there.
Yes.
For his wife specifically, enjoy her friendships, cultivate friends.
Is there any advice Dr. Beter has to give to me about thinking about his work? I mean, you know, I know some of it's not true and some of it is. What does he have to say to me about my effort of trying to understand his work?
See what lasts. That's what he says. See what lasts. You'll find that much of it does. And what we say is, he is right. So therefore, keep this and see which pan out to be true.
Now, will Carol and I meet any of his informers or associates like Bill Graham in the future?
Yes, high probability.
And we should just not be afraid of any contact?
No, not be afraid of anything.
And there'll be some fruitful dialogue?
Yes.
All right, now, thank you very much, Dr. Beter. Okay, now personal things.
Okay, that's it. Open up the 13. What's that wind?
All participants are now unmuted.
Hey guys, you just heard the incredible September 13th, 1988 revelation of what AIDS is and where it came from.
Those like jerks.
What?
I said, those jerks.
Who's saying that?
It's Bart.
Right. And what do you think of that, Barbara?
Well, I read the Leonard Horowitz books about how the AIDS virus was created. And it was, I believe it was military complex. And they started out in the 60s. And he found the documentation to prove that. And then
right,
they targeted...
That's all bullshit. Look, let's just go with what I am, the viral debilitant. I explained some of this to Leonard at Mesquite in November, in August 99. And he didn't have a... He couldn't understand it. Didn't believe it. Thought he meant that. He does not talk about a viral debilitant.
Okay, I missed that one when the Evergreens were just talking about that. Viral debilitant. What does he mean exactly by that?
Did not that term not come up? Anybody hear that term?
Yeah, it did. In the Evergreens?
Yeah, what I just played.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, they mentioned that, yeah.
Okay, you missed that part, Barbara.
Okay, I guess I missed that part.
Yeah, the people he placed on was ridiculous. You know, Henry Kissinger, Rockefeller, blah, blah, blah. Some guy, some Nazi guy in Africa. Right?
Oh, the doctor. I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, well, okay, then when they tried it out, then they targeted the major cities and they targeted the gay community.
No, they
and
didn't.
The blacks.
That's all bull. That didn't happen.
That's all bull?
Yes. I think it was said... No, it was said in another...
It's through the hepatitis B vaccine.
Yeah, yesterday, or the day before, I played another excerpt where he the gay scenarios in North America were not done at all. So that was said... It was part of a something done in 89 or 90. And it's not in this one, and it wasn't in the one that I played just before this. I don't think. It is somewhere else. But I played that a couple of days ago. But it was a later session.
And it was put in the smallpox virus. It went into Chad first and then spread from there. It was not introduced into the homosexual community.
No.
Then they just got it by accident? I mean, how did they get hit so heavily with it then? Well, I mean, why?
Because they were already so immune suppressed that they couldn't withstand it. And I asked...
No, they infiltrated the WHO smallpox trials. You go back and listen to it over again. I think that got it spelled out in this session.
But Barbara's asking, why did the gays succumb?
Oh, okay. Well, that's another matter. There's all kinds of theories about that.
And I'm saying it's the immune suppression, but the Evergreens, when I asked them that at that time in the session, they said not so much, but I mean, that's why they have slim disease in Africa, because the Africans are so malnourished, they can't withstand any amount of HIV.
They said not so much what?
That the immune suppression is a factor.
So why was it?
I think it's a big factor. I think
the Evergreens didn't agree with you on the beginning, and that's as far as you went with them.
Right.
Okay, forget that. I want people to understand what they heard. Do not bring up what you read at any point, because what you just heard, a few of you people realize it is pretty original what you just heard. Didn't you?
They wanted to make people sick, but only a certain segment, and I didn't hear who they were targeting exactly. And it was one country that was behind
no,
it all.
For military reasons. Are you here, Greg?
But, yeah, but he said one country was behind it. He didn't say which country.
It was Fort Detrick. We have that. That was what I broadcast before this.
I didn't hear the one before
yesterday.
This.
Yeah. See. Okay. So. You have to hear the one before this, which was done a year later. I did it backwards. But Greg was the one who thought he understood the obsolescence of nuclear war. So Greg's not here now. Okay.
Yeah, it's no longer a hardware war, you're saying.
That's what Greg said.
Yeah, that's what you're referring to?
Did you not hear them say the idea was to weaken your enemies so they don't die, but they're sick and they can't fight. And you walk into the country, and then the virus mutates and becomes mild, and the people are well again, but now they work in your factories.
Did you hear that? Yeah, that part.
Right.
Yeah, that's
the point.
Yeah. That was a novel point.
And yes, what was
that's
the delivery?
A novel point.
But you say it was through smallpox, but not everybody got a smallpox vaccination. So what? I wasn't clear on how the delivery was then.
These teams. It was spelled. See, that's right. You didn't hear yesterday's.
All right.
Yesterday explained it. The smallpox vaccination were going on anyways in the late 70s. These people walked along in the teams, and the majority of the teams did not know that the bad guys were injecting this other stuff to experiment with. In the smallpox injections, or beside them, or in place of them. I'd have to listen to it. You remember that, Carol?
Yeah, they used the smallpox as the cover for what they were doing, so I imagine...
They were walking along with the teams.
That they would have injected some HIV into, you know, the big bottle of smallpox vaccine, shaken it up, and then it just gets...
Or they had an injection needle... And they were sticking their stuff. Like,
no, they wouldn't do it twice. They had so few needles.
What do you mean twice? Not twice, Carol.
They're not going to inject someone with smallpox and someone else comes along and injects something else. They're going to secret it into the smallpox vaccine bottle.
Okay, here's how I imaged it. and I don't know if this is what it was, if that's what it was, but when I heard it, you had five people on a smallpox team and going around in Africa injecting the whatever the smallpox did, right?
Right.
Well, one of the five was unbeknownst to the other four, injecting something else in them.
Instead of smallpox.
Yes. That's how I hear it.
Yeah, well, that's no experiment. If you inject people, you probably want to inject everybody that you're injecting.
No, they kept it singular. Now, that may be wrong, but when you guys re-listen to this, or what was said, I think it's spelled out in the September 12th, 89 session, you'll hear that described.
That was earlier this morning.
That's right. Yeah. Is that Denny?
Yes.
Yeah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Did you hear what I said?
Yes, I understand that. I understand the principle of
no, Denny, did you hear what I said, that five people on a team, one of them was doing the other project among them? Did you hear that? Were you able to interpret it that way?
I don't think I did. I just interpreted that something happened there.
Something happened. So back to Carolyn.
Yeah, but I didn't know. I didn't gather specifically. I was doing general thought.
Yeah, you weren't thinking about it. Okay, Carolyn.
Yeah.
What do you imagine happened?
That they put
the team. Describe a team.
That someone took the big vial of smallpox and injected a little bit of HIV virus into each bottle of smallpox vaccine.
At risk that the people on the team might notice they're different.
They wouldn't be different.
So did the people who inject them walk along with the team that was doing the smallpox?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's either they injected it in, put it in the bottle that was.
Or they had similar bottles.
Yeah.
With the same labels, and like you say, only a certain portion of people were injected directly with the HIV virus.
Yeah, that's including, I say, understand my scenario, which you just said,
mm-hmm.
as well as your scenario. It's one
right, because we never specified.
Yeah, I don't think I ever asked that, went into this kind of question. So anyways, there it is. That's the amazing thing, the viral debilitant. The thing, now, the next point is, if the guy, the people were supposed to be sick for 3 weeks, and then get better. It turned out they got sick for 29 years because the experiment failed. It was too
strong. A virus.
Yeah, they did the experiment once, and it failed. Went into a 29-year cycle.
Yeah, so they couldn't use it.
And then the people
not a 3-week cycle.
And it just continued to spread through sex and needles.
Yeah, and somewhere, like, there'd be little questions I would ask, you know, every session, and it was an American military guy, general or something, who brought the AIDS virus from Africa to America, and I think it came through Florida. So some guy over there, military guy, you know, got contact sexually or somehow, in that early 80, 81 period, and he was the guy. He was patient one.
Patient zero.
Patient zero. And it's interesting, when the mythology of patient zero came out, it was on 60 Minutes in the late 70s, early 80s, whenever that patient zero, the guy they targeted was a flight attendant who worked with Sue Bone on
Air
Canada, who lived in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia.
Yeah, that's what I understood at the time.
Beg your pardon?
That's what I understood at the time, too.
Yeah, well, you mean you understood that those were the facts of patient
one? That was 01. No, I didn't know what the facts was, but that's what I...
You remember the story.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the synchronicity is that the people that were going to treat it had spent many years living in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia. See? 1 degree of separation. Me and Carolyn. And Sue Bone was from that area. And, of course, that story was long forgotten when other information came out that sort of denied patient zero, I think. Maybe, I don't think it. I never hear about it anymore. Was someone going to say something else?
I was going to say that. Go ahead, Denny.
No. You go ahead. I'll wait.
I was just going to say that the Evergreen said that not to release that until that information became public, I guess, public knowledge, or that it was available. So something to that effect, you're seeing something to that effect now?
Potentially, 2 months later, the Evergreens are wrong when they say it will be out. It'll be old news in 2 months. That never happened. And I did not do anything with the information till a year later. And when you hear what I played last night, we're discussing, okay, this information came out. That's the beginning of the pattern. You can release it, Bob. And then Devereen said that I would be noticed in this session, that I would be noticed when I released it in a few months. Well, I didn't release till a year later, and I was never noticed. Right? So we just carried on, and... then, within a year, Carolyn got the treatment, MIR, and that led us to moving to New York. So the releasing of the causal information that I had just was dropped by the wayside. But I kept watching the news, and within the big thing in about a year is some doctors were saying, yeah, the virus is getting weaker. So 29 years from 1980 is 2009. Now that's interesting, Carol. That's the year Ion came.
Mm-hmm.
So by 2009, the Evergreen said that the AIDS virus will be a 24-hour cold. Be like that. It'll be so weak. Do we hear anything about the AIDS virus anymore? Is it powerful?
Oh, they keep pretending to make vaccines against it that they say don't work, and, you know, they dance around it, but you don't hear too much.
Do kids get it?
Yeah, it goes in waves. I think people get infected, and then they have big push to use condoms, and then it settles down.
It's weak.
Yeah.
So the weakness is explained, I mean, the weakness factor... It fits into the Evergreen's statement.
It does.
It just came out with that movie, Dallas Buyers Club, that's about some treatment that... I haven't seen it yet, but it's about a treatment that was alternative, and all the AIDS patients were coming to this person to get their medication that was illegal.
Yeah, and...
Well, I'm saying maybe they're just trying to put that meme back in the air or something.
Oh, it's a recent movie.
It's just released. It's not all over the place, but there are certain cities that are playing it.
Right, that's right. In that level, they're trying to keep the thing going. So there's later sessions where we are organizing our press conference and that, and then something always came up and we never did it. So
yeah, the Buyers Club, I knew about it in New York when we were doing the mirror.
The movie just came out, Carolyn.
The name of the group... that used alternatives for HIV was called the Buyers Club.
It's a documentary, then.
No, it's got Matthew McConaughey and Jared Leto. It's called the Dallas Buyers Club.
So it's based on something, Carolyn, you heard back then.
Yeah.
What were they being treated with?
Just vitamins and minerals. I think they were the ones that got the coconut oil going, coconut products as an antifungal, because fungus is big in HIV. And that was one of the other things that was kind of wiped out when AZT came along, and everybody thought, oh, I want the drug, and then they all died.
And the vegetarian or the vitamin supplement thing was dropped?
By a lot of people, yeah. It was very undermining of anything alternative. There was huge fights in the HIV community that, you know, the Buyers Club people were lobbying against the drug, and the drug people were lobbying the FDA to release the AZT now. They didn't want to wait for all the trials to show whether it was safe or not. They just wanted it. So the whole AZT demand by the HIV community actually changed the FDA rules to fast-track these drugs, and that changed the whole drug process, actually. So they fast-tracked AZT. They started using it, and they didn't realize that it was killing so many people for a long time. Because when people with HIV died on AZT, they just said, oh, the AZT killed them. But then there was enough instances in cases of people who were misdiagnosed with HIV, given AZT, and they died. looking like they had AIDS.
Gary Null was in that fight. He was probably on the Buyers Club. What's it called? The club is
Buyers Club.
Buyers?
Mm-hmm.
B-U-Y-E-R-S.
Mm-hmm.
That's an organization.
Mm-hmm.
They came out of the AIDS thing, or they offered mm-hmm. the AIDS thing?
They came out of as a way of offering inexpensive natural supplements to people with HIV, because, you know, by that time all these guys had no money, they were destitute, they needed help, so it became like a co-op buyer's club.
Right, and then it spread into something else?
No.
Oh, okay.
Carolyn,
so,
isn't it true that HIV didn't always turn into AIDS? I mean, they could have the virus, but they could overcome it and get the autoimmune disease.
Well, when they hit MIR, that would stop it.
Yeah, and the by the time, I mean, when were we in New York, 1993, that was a few years later, and it was starting to weaken a little bit in some people. And, you know, the in the HIV community, some of the guys that got it, they didn't have the huge immune system depletion. You know, with the guys that did a lot of anal sex and did poppers and were partying all the time and would take prophylactic antibiotics because they'd always be getting STDs. So they would just pop antibiotics, popper. You know, they were just taking so much. And they were totally debilitated, and it's a debilitating disease, so they were already debilitated. But other guys would be pretty healthy. You know, there was a segment of the HIV community that was, they were health nuts and into athletics and everything. But, you know, they may get it, and it was milder for them. So they, if they could overcome the fear of it, and once they started getting a segment of the population who could maintain their health, I mean, there was a time when people thought you get HIV, you die. But then...
Yeah, Magic Johnson... Magic Johnson played basketball. He was a professional basketball player. Got AIDS, ruined his career, but he always stayed healthy.
Yeah, that's Magic Johnson.
Magic Johnson.
Yeah, when Carolyn first was teaching, well, doing it in Toronto in 1991, Walter Fishman wanted you to get in touch with Magic Jackson after
Johnson
after the Forbes guy died.
Right.
And that they never could connect with him.
Right, and I think I heard and the grapevine that Magic Johnson, he did not deny that he used AZT, but apparently he did not use so much of the AZT, but used a lot of alternatives. I mean, that's sort of one
right.
of the many rumors.
And he's on my chart in the Dobbs quadrant. I have two athletes, not just one. Mm. The previous quadrants have one, so I have Wayne Gretzky and Magic Johnson. So the, because I knew about the Magic Johnson case from you and Walter, whatever was going on behind the scenes. So what we did back in 89 is I got Dave to distort the voice. He could hardly, you know, he had to strain to understand what was being said because I was protecting Michael Blake Reed's voice. But this is the first time it's been broadcast clear. And because Michael Blake Reed's not here anymore. So, this is the first time the clear, without straining, statement is being made. So let's try to understand it and spread the word on it. And,
or not.
Or not. But the point is, there it is. Start talking. Nobody knows this idea, other than if they heard me explain it. I used to explain it whenever I got interviewed here and there throughout the 90s.
Well, now, this same principle in warfare comes up with...
You just
psychotronic.
You just said this printable warfare. So
Denny, let me make a suggestion. I think the microphone of your phone is always very much too close to your lips, so you come across as muffled.
All right. Let's see how this works. Am I okay?
100% better.
Okay. The same principle in warfare that's mentioned about how you disability, I mean, you don't want to kill the person, but you want to make him sick enough that he has to be taken care of and then gets well. And then by that time, you've taken advantage of the of the enemy. Now, I think
they get better, and then...